Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Tyrese Maxey's heroics and Philly's jaw-dropping comeback in the Garden. Did the Sixers finally figure out their winning formula? Plus, the feat that the Milwaukee Bucks accomplished last night that no team has ever done before in NBA history. We tell you what that is. And let's go back to Madison Square Garden. Did the Knicks' last game of the series, did it slip through their fingers? Or was it Philly who snatched it? NBA Today starts right now. 28.9 seconds. Austin, a lot can happen in that short amount of time.
A lot can happen.
And man, oh man, did the Knicks get more than they bargained for. They got Tyrese Maxey. Welcomed into NBA Today, presented by American Express. He is the unofficial official mayor of New York City, Kendrick Perkins, who is here to help Knicks fans. Truly, let it all out here. We will help you lick your wounds.
This is the Knicks should be fouling right now.
This is a
safe. They didn't foul.
Let's go off behind us. This is ESPN senior writer Brian Windhorst. Austin Rivers here as well to gloat about predicting this correctly. There it is. Austin, you picked the Sixers to win last night. They made you look good.
Every once in a while, I have my moments.
Never a doubt.
Well, there's no way, though, that you thought that that was going to happen. There is no way that you thought that Tyrese Maxey, with just 28.9 seconds that it took us to start the show, Tyrese Maxey, he single-handedly erased a seven-point lead. And it was a Madison Square Garden meltdown, dare we call it. So let's go there, Kendrick Perkins, right now. The Sixers and the Knicks, Game 5.
Supposed to be in the building.
1:45 left. This is when the Knicks looked like they were in control.
I like it. Mitchell Robinson embracing the challenge of guarding Joel Embiid. And look at the speed of OG Anunoby.
He was moving with the ball.
Yeah. Look at those wheels. At this moment, I was loading up my selfie video and getting ready to put it on Twitter.
No, this moment.
Yeah, this is the moment.
That's when the Knicks fans thought they had it.
About to press upload.
And great IQ and great awareness by McBride to flash at that point and to take that shot and knock it down.
Knicks alumni are loving it. You cannot foul here, Austin.
No, this is this changed the game. Four-point play. My goodness.
Mitchell Robinson commits the foul here, and Tyrese Maxey is able to hit that 3-4-point play for Maxey.
He knows it's going in. Look, he knows it's going in.
Anytime you got both wrists pointing like that behind your back, that's when you know it's going in.
Oh, here's Josh Hart at the line.
Oh, Josh.
Tight.
Oh, Josh.
Tight.
Anytime it's short like that, it gets a little tight.
Any great comeback needs a missed free throw, Malika.
Well, he made the next free throw.
Barely.
But watch on the sideline here. Tom Thibodeau, you could hear him. He was screaming, foul this man. We are up three. But they didn't.
But see, that's when when you're at the free throw line, that's when you have to communicate as a team. And Jalen Brunson took ownership of that in this post-game interview of not being that leader.
The Knicks elect not to take a timeout. And so to overtime we go. Let's take one more look at that shot. He was asked after the game, Tyrese Maxey was, what he said in this moment as he turns to the crowd.
Oh.
Stunned faces. Maxey was fired all the way up. He said, I can't tell you what I was saying, but I know that my grandma wouldn't necessarily be happy. So to overtime we go. We were happy because we got overtime in Madison Square Garden here. And Brian, the Knicks, they started out OT really well.
I thought they were good. I actually was impressed with the way they took this punch. It was awesome to see Brunson take over, but it didn't last.
More Embiid in pick and rolls. More Embiid in pick and rolls. That should be the Knicks thing.
Tyrese Maxey, we saw him hit a big shot before. There he goes again, Austin.
I mean, Mitchell got to get up. At this point, force him inside the line. Three's going to hurt you.
Turnover here.
This is a wild sequence that really had a big outcome in the game.
Josh Hart can't quite get it to go. Tyrese Maxey pushes it ahead. Huge swing there. Philadelphia, once again, reclaims that one-point lead. And then Maxey can't get that one to go.
This is another crazy play that's big in this game.
But credit to Nicholas Batum, the unsung hero in my eyes in this series, for getting that offensive rebound.
Jalen Brunson.
That's a four-point play. That was because he got flagrant. That was a four-point play that tied it.
And then back to the other end we go.
You got to communicate that. You have to communicate those switches at that time.
Bounced on every part of the rim before it drops down and in. And here, the 76ers turn the ball over. It heads to the New York Knicks. The crowd is all the way fired up. Brunson, okay, not a high turnover player.
Look at Batum here. It's Batum, Perk. Batum with the closeout forces him to get stuck in the air. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble.
Yep.
Hartenstein's going for the offensive rebound. He's not expecting that ball.
Wendy, when Philly traded for him, I said that was one of the underrated pieces that they acquired.
Batum again here.
And Joel Embiid. This man played 48 minutes, and he is diving on the floor to make sure Philadelphia secures the win there.
Big time effort.
They go on to force a game six. Let's take a listen to Tyrese Maxey after the game.
Going through my mind right there was just find a way to survive. Like I said, our season's on the line. I mean, like, you know, I trust my work. I trust what I've done all my life, and you know, just trying to get to a spot and raise up and knock a shot down. I'm a happy guy, but I absolutely hate losing it, especially when it's certain times. Like, people don't see me upset a lot, but I was really upset. I just wanted to go out there and make up for it for my teammates.
Maxey was incredible last night. 46 points. That was the most by a 76ers player in an elimination game since Wilt Chamberlain also scored 46 points. That was against the Celtics back in 1966 in the East Finals. But Wilt's team lost that game. So Maxey's 46, they're the most points in an elimination game victory in team history, passing Allen Iverson, who scored 44 to beat the Bucks in Game 7 of the 2001 East Finals and punched Philadelphia's ticket to the NBA Finals. And Maxey also tied Michael Jordan, always good company to be in, for the most points by a visiting player in a playoff game in MSG. Remember, MJ scored his 46 points in an overtime game in the 1996 East Semis during the Bulls' 72-win season. So what happens before every show is that our producers, they get on a call with all of you guys, and we share our thoughts, we kind of chat a little bit, we talk about how the best way that I can make sure, Kendrick, that your thoughts get out there, how I can tee you up, as we call it. And you said, Malika, just get out of my way and say, what was my reaction?
Ah!
I'm going to do just that.
You know what my reaction was? This has been one of the best playoff series that I've seen in the last 2 to 3 years. And it's three words to describe this series: blood, sweat, and tears. And if you have any type of competitive bone in your body, you should love watching the Knicks and Philadelphia play right now. When you think about what Embiid is battling through, as far as his knee injury, and I don't, you know, the whole face thing, and then you're looking at, you know, the lead change just in this game. They had 16 lead changes in this game. And you think about the fan base, right? We know that Philly is hostile. We know that the Knicks fan base, they're hostile. On top of that, the head of the snakes on both sides of the ball are going at it. Jalen Brunson right now leading the league in postseason in points, averaging 34. Guess who's right behind him? Tyrese Maxey. He's averaging 33. Both of them then put up historical performances. We saw in game four what Jalen Brunson did his thing, right? The most points in what franchise history for us in the postseason. Then last night, they just have so much going on, even with the Knicks fan base, even when you see the legends calling out on social media and saying, hey, do not allow the Knicks fan base to come in here and take over. This is one of the best series I've seen in the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, you could write a book about it. To be honest with you, we're only five games in, and I suspect we may go seven here.
Won't you write one?
I'm too tired. I can't handle it. So whenever you see a situation like this where you see one team lose a big lead, it's always, and this reminded me of Heat Spurs back in the 2013 finals, which, by the way, that was 5 points in 28 seconds. This was even bigger than that. It's two things that happen. There's greatness that happens, and the other team, the team that's ahead, always helps. And the Knicks made three big mistakes. Obviously, you have the Mitchell Robinson foul. Huge mistake, but he's got to make the shot after getting bumped. Then, missed free throw. Every comeback has a missed free throw. Then they don't foul there. And he makes a 35-footer. It takes Maxey doing the great stuff. It takes the closeout there and the mistake by Brunson. All of those things have to come together to create something like this. And we only see it maybe once every 5 or 6 years, and we remember it forever.
Yeah, this is how 3-1 leads slip. No, this is how it happens. I'll talk from my own experience, sadly. I remember we were up versus Houston by like 20 in game 6. And when we lost that game, knowing that we had to go back to Houston for a game 7, there was a weird energy in the locker room. It's just like, you know what I mean? And obviously we went on to lose that game. When you look at that score, 28.9 seconds left or whatever it was, being up 6 points from going to the second round, having all your legends there at the game.
The win probabilities.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's crazy to think that here we are. I still have the Knicks winning the series, by the way, in 7. But I think it's going to go 7. I think
they
go back
home. You had Philly winning yesterday. You were hoping, you were wishing that Perk was there so you could
You know,
yeah, I'm waiting to the second round. But my only pushback to that is that we've seen in this series, because even after game 2, with all the controversy, whether Tyrese Maxey got fouled, I thought Philly was done. They came back and they responded in game 3 in great fashion. We, like, the world's probably saying right now, there's no way the Knicks can recover from this. Well, I'm thinking, I'm like, no, this is a Tom Thibodeau coach team. This is a Jalen Brunson-led team. Yeah. They have an opportunity. They have a chance. All they have to do is win one game in the next 2, and one of them is on your home floor.
Yeah. They win in New York. I think they win in New York. But I think Philly goes home and wins that game. I think they win.
No, I'm with you. I think it goes 7. I had the Knicks in 6, but I think it goes 7. I've got the Knicks in 7.
This series has been the most entertaining in the first round, I think, by far. Mm-hmm. It has everything. Yeah. It has physical. It's physical. It has hate. It has 40-point games. It has blown leads.
That's the word.
22 for Tyrese Maxey in the fourth and overtime, just going absolutely nuclear. And I called our resident historian, Michael Wilbon, before this show, because I wanted to make sure that I didn't need to get my young eyes checked, right? That I didn't have any sort of recency bias before I said this. This is one of the all-time classic performances. This isn't just, recent history. This is one of the best we've ever seen. He said, you're absolutely right. And I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure before we go out and talk about it in this way. This is going to be a game in 10, 15, 20, 30 years we're going to be referring back to as an instant classic.
There was pain inflicted on those Knicks fans last night. Pain. They walked out of that game never forgetting it. And the Sixers fans will remember where they were. And that's what this time of the year is about. It's about having those moments.
Well, we have so much more to unpack. We can't just unpack this in a 10-minute A block. We need to get to it further in our show. Coming up on NBA Today, we also need to talk about how did the Bucks stave off elimination without Giannis, without Dave? And the question.
That man right there.
Do it again. On somebody?
Absolutely.
Plus, the Knicks, they let this one slip away in a heartbreaker. Should Knicks fans be wary of more heartbreak ahead? And even with the win, Joel Embiid, he had some harsh words for his own performance. Perk, do you agree with Embiid?
Let's listen.
That's coming up next on NBA Today. I like that. No filter.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
No Dame, no Giannis. No problem, right? Let's check out how the Bucks staved off elimination in Game 5 without their two superstars. Remember, still on the bench. We haven't seen Giannis yet in this series.
Let me see it.
Patrick Beverley, though.
Let me see it, Pat. What is he?
Hit him with the...
He bent way down.
There was so
extra
much
disrespect.
Flare. That was like the bend and snap. There was so much flair on that too small. And then
look
he did
him,
it again.
Look at him.
One wasn't enough there, Austin. Pat Beth.
Tracy.
But he backed it up.
Ooh, a little Tracy Morgan.
10 of the Bucks' final 18 first half points there for Patrick Beverley. So ahead to the third quarter we go. Early third, Bucks lead 55-48. Chris Middleton sizes up his man. Pulls up for three.
Called money-making Middleton.
He is really keeping these guys alive. I mean, respect Chris Middleton.
29 and 12 rebounds to Kendrick Perkins. The Bucks lead 62-48 after the missed free throws. Beverly steals the ball. Fast break. Bobby Portis.
29 piece. There you go, Bobby. Wait, hey, that's how you bounce back from letting your team down.
Certainly a fan favorite in Milwaukee. Fourth quarter here. This is just cosmetic at this point. Finds Bobby Portis.
Oh, that's a little Hakeem.
No, that's tough.
I honestly didn't know he had that.
A little Hakeem mixed with a little Kareem.
I didn't know he had that, but Patrick Beverly did. Bucks roll. But get this. Milwaukee, they became the first team in NBA history to win a playoff game without their top two scorers from the regular season. Teams had previously been 0-13 in that situation, including, of course, the Bucks' Game 4 loss. So let's take a listen to Doc Rivers after the game on the status of his two superstars.
How does winning this game and getting a couple extra days for Game 6 just affect the injury timelines, Giannis and Dame? Is there a chance that is extending this series that you guys, you know, hope to get them on the floor?
I don't know how to answer that. I know I hope. I think they're very, very, very close.
He still want to go to work.
Did you talk to Doc at all yesterday?
I called him yesterday joking with him. I was like, man, Cancun on three. I did not think they were going to win that game.
You know better.
He chuckled at me and said, we'll see. But here we are.
You said before this series that the Bucks were going to win, Perk, without Giannis. But then when Dame went down, you said, I think, a negative 1% chance that they were going to win the series?
I did. And I disrespect the vets in those locker rooms. Ooh. And you know what? I don't know if Giannis and Dame is coming back. But let me say this. Doc, my Mbutu brother, this is a chance. This is a chance to shut all the haters up about, oh, Doc, he can't win game sevens. Oh, Doc Rivers, he done blew 3-1 leads. You was down 3-1. You got a great opportunity to lead this locker room into going into Milwaukee, tying this series up, bringing it back home, and then you have a game seven that you could lead them into completing the mission. Damn it, go out there and stand on business.
And I'm thinking about the Pacers in this one because
for what?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen in game six and seven. I don't know how much Doc is telling the truth about how very, very close they are, but the Pacers knew that Dame and Giannis were going to be out of this game.
Yep.
They knew they could end it right now. The team that they may have to play in the next round, it's an absolute boxing match to the death over there. They had a chance to win this game tonight or last night, and they let Milwaukee stay alive. That is a classic mistake with star players sitting over there who can come back.
Let me tell you, it's all about placing just that seed of doubt in your opponent's minds. You guys know this better than I do. And I would think with a win like that, now the Milwaukee Bucks have placed just that little inkling of doubt.
Austin, I want to ask you a question. Wendy, Malika, you too. We've been praising Tyrese Halliburton, and rightfully so, okay? He's probably going to make an all-NBA team. We having some controversy, and a lot of guys feel some type of way about him being on the Olympic squad because other guys feel like Kyrie maybe should be on there. When is he going to have his one shining moment in this series?
Well, he had a shot at the end.
Yeah, but
he struggled that game.
But Pascal Siakam has been the best player for the Pacers.
Not last night.
I know.
BP.
No. But what I'm saying overall in the series for the Pacers.
Yep.
When is Tyrese Halliburton going to rise to the occasion?
He needs it. He needs it. I think Perk makes an excellent point. And we've given deserved praise. He's had a great season, especially midseason. But since All-Star break, and I know there was injuries that he was battling through, he has been subpar in terms of comparing him to the standard of what he was the first half of the year. And then we look at the playoffs so far, he hasn't even been the best player on his team. So you have to ask yourself in a must-win game, and I say must-win because if they lose that game and go back to Milwaukee, it's not gonna look good for them.
So you're saying game six is a series?
I think it's a statement game for him.
Okay.
It's the biggest game of his career.
Yeah.
To this point.
Biggest game of his career. All right, let's take a look at where the Eastern Conference playoff bracket stands as of right now. Just the full picture, please. All right. So after last night's action, the Pacers, the Knicks, the Cavs, they now all hold 3-2 series leads. So speaking of the Cavaliers, it's time now for Big Man Ballin'. It's brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. Perk, who was balling last night in Cleveland?
Malik, I hate it because everyone was watching the Knicks and 76ers battle it out, but the other team, Cleveland and Orlando, they were tied 2-2. No Jared Allen. But who rose to the occasion? A man that we've been waiting on, Evan Mobley. And he did it in great fashion. Late in the clutch. Here goes some clutch minutes. This is Evan Mobley at his finest. Playing in the paint. Playing in the paint. Look, playing the dunker spot at his finest. Waiting on guys to make moves. Darius Garland finds him, and he's not waiting. He's attacking the basket. Defensively, we know what type of problem he is. Look at him slide those puppies. And get that out of here, Wagner. Get that out of here. Because they've been bumping their gums this entire series. And when I think about Evan Mobley, look, Banchero, he had 39 last night. But guess who's been putting the straps on him? Evan Mobley. He's 9 out of 30 when guarded by Evan Mobley. 30% from the field. 36 for 64 when guarded by others. He's shooting 56% from the field.
And that block on Wagner at the end of the game.
It was real. Ooh, it was crucial. Boy.
Get into the playoff intensity with ESPN Bet. New users bet reset. Up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. The official sportsbook of ESPN is the only place to find exclusive offers from your favorite ESPN shows, personalities, perk throughout the entire playoffs.
Well,
Download today.
Malika, coming up. Tyrese Maxey kept the 76ers season alive. How much does Joel Embiid need to step up to keep it going?
Are you
going to
tell us?
Plus, an update on Luka's knee ahead of game 5. Versus the Clippers. Where is Luka? There you go. How would the health impact the tie series? And old Tyrese Maxey make my big list of big shots in elimination game. Find out soon when we come back on NBA Today.
Flawless.
I do, Malika.
Flawless. No notes.
I woke up like this.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Four-point game. The Sixers still very much alive.
Get ready for the comeback.
Why did Mitchell Robinson foul Tyrese Maxey on that three-point shot?
10 seconds left. Maxey,
I'm ready for my comeback.
He's got it. Tie game. Overtime at the Garden. To Embiid. It goes. And the foul. Knicks are down by two. Brooks are forcing it up, and nobody there.
There's a whole bunch of mistakes to point to.
The Sixers stay alive.
Well, Stephen A., I'm sorry, but he really did have plenty of reason to be in disbelief. Teams were 0-351 when trailing by 6 with under 30 seconds to play over the last 25 postseasons. But death, taxes, and Tyrese Maxey, they are all inevitable. We'll show you why. The Knicks up 6 here. The Knicks had a 94% chance to win with 28.2 seconds left. Here's Tyrese Maxey on missing free throws earlier in the game.
I just missed those three free throws, man. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Buddy Hield because I was on the bench and I was really upset. I was really upset with myself. I missed three free throws, turned the ball over, and Buddy Hield just kind of grabbed me and said, listen, dude, like, you know what you can do. Go out there, make up for it. And I really do appreciate Buddy for that, man. I know it's going to go unnoticed, but it was big time for him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have a teammate come up to you, say that. All right, inbound here. Maxie pulls from three, and he's fouled by Mitchell Robinson.
But I credit Nick Nurse because he's done an excellent job of setting those screens higher to get Tyrese Maxie downhill, attacking those bigs that are in the drop cut.
So Maxie completes the four-point play, but then down on the other end, crucial here, Hart misses the first free throw. So here's Tom Thibodeau and Hart after the game on the miscommunication here just in the final seconds.
You have to, you know, communicate what your decisions are. And so, you know, we could have done better in that situation, and we will.
Is it too early to foul on three there?
Well, you know, we could have. That's, you know, but we'll leave it at that.
We did relay, you know, that. And I think that's an error on, you know, the guys on the court. You got to make sure we know what the situation is.
Hindsight is 20/20. So Hart, he would make, the second free throw. But watch Tom Thibodeau here. He wants Miles McBride to foul Maxie. He is calling for sometimes coaches don't want to do this because they're afraid of fouling a shooter.
Yeah, and they just fouled him a couple seconds earlier. And there was a lot of time left, but I don't think Philly had any timeouts.
And he pulled from half.
So many notable folks reacting to this, obviously. LeBron James tweeting. And then there's John Stewart. Respect to Maxie, but I'm clearly getting too old for this. And then, I don't know if you could see our buddy there, Tracy Morgan, flipping him off on the way back down the court.
Not jokingly either. He had a serious face on.
Here's Tyrese Maxey after the game.
Yeah, my grandma probably wouldn't like.
Just to be clear, he was saying that what he was screaming up and down the sidelines is something his grandma probably wouldn't approve of. But you know what? We do. We love the emotion here. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, Austin, both averaged over 30 points through five games. They join Elgin Baylor and Jerry West from the 62 Lakers as the only duos to both hit that mark in the first five games of the postseason. And if Joel Embiid thinks he and Maxey are going to reach that finals duo like they did, he's going to have to play a bit better here.
Me not being able to, you know, be myself, he just had to do it, and he did it. That's why, you know, he is such an amazing basketball player. I don't think we've combined, you know, all of us, you know, to play our best basketball. So I'm hoping that, I was terrible. I'm hoping that I can be better, and you know, we're gonna be fine.
So I'm just going to throw up here where Joel Embiid's nine turnovers stack up. But Austin, you said on yesterday's show he has to be the best player in the series. Yep. He hasn't been so far, but he's going through a lot.
Listen, I think people need to put more respect on what Joel's doing right now in the postseason. This is a guy battling a multitude of issues.
And thank you.
Talk about his left eye dragging down. He's limping all over the court. He's battling injuries. He's nowhere near 100%. We always talk about how inefficient are all these numbers in his postseason. But look at the effort. Last night he made winning plays. The steal on Brunson, which was a big steal.
Breach.
He had huge blocks on Hartenstein throughout the game and other plays. Still put up a triple-double. Anytime you put up a triple-double in a bad game, he had big and ones, hit his free throws. I mean, bro, and he's, like I said, he's battling two to three issues right now. And they're not little minor, like, scrapes and bruises. These are some big-time issues that other players would be sitting down. And here he is battling shit. Half of us told him not to come back. We wanted him to rest the rest of the season. So for him to come back and be playing with this type of effort, playing through these injuries,
I did.
You know, I think it's a big-time, you know, big-time effort from him. And I think, you know, we need to put some respect on Joel Embiid.
I actually think he has been their best player because when he goes off the court, the Sixers can't cope.
Yeah, they can't play.
The plus-minus difference is absolutely jaw-dropping. When he comes off the court, they are like negative 37 in like, you know, look, here's the negative 46 in 37 minutes. Nick Nurse can't take him off the court. And so one of the big things, by the way, last night he was plus 11 in a game they won by six. Maxie was plus three. As awesome as Maxie was, Maxie, when he was on the court without Embiid, it didn't go well. So one of the biggest things that's going to happen here in game six and game seven, can, and the thing that's happening is Embiid is running out of gas in these fourth quarters.
Yeah.
So is there a way that they can survive a couple of extra minutes with Embiid on the bench so that he can save some energy for the fourth quarter?
Tobias Harris.
That could be the start.
Could be a start, right? Getting scoring from guys like that, though, like, I mean, that's what they pay him for. Yeah, like,
I know, Austin, but we've been asking for Tobias Harris for how long? Like, we've been asking for him since, you know, I don't know, forever. But to go back to your point, Wendy, it was a great point, because having Joel Embiid on the floor, even if he's a decoy, is a plus for Tyrese Maxey. But getting back to Tyrese Maxey, this young man, right, we already knew that he wasn't afraid, but now it's a difference because now opponents are afraid of him, right? He has earned that respect when you're talking about having to, you know, have schemes to design around him. And I go back to the point of what I said during when we was running the tape. Great job by Nick Nurse to have him attacking downhill. Those screens were a lot higher. We know he's at an advantage. He's one of the fastest, if not the fastest guys in the NBA. Also, Tom Thibodeau, what are you gonna do? What type of adjustments? I need to see more OG Anunoby on Tyrese Maxey, right? The size, the length, the athleticism. You gotta find a way to cut the head off. Cut the head off of the snake, and that's the only solution I see is by putting OG Anunoby on them.
So both of these teams have short benches. Both of these teams are playing huge minutes.
Huge.
No extra rest now, no extra days off. Who can have the energy? I can't tell you what's going to happen in Game 6 tomorrow night, but I can tell you it's probably going to be tight in the fourth quarter. Who's got the energy? Who's got the endurance? It's going to come down to one or two plays. This is such a fascinating series, and I really think that we're in for some more incredible play.
Well, and it's not just the 76ers that are banged up. Teams all over the league. Obviously, we saw Tyrese Maxey step up. That's really been the story of the playoffs, is who can step up in the absence of their star players, because Joel Embiid's new running mate, he did that. But his old one, James Harden, he's going to need to do the same tonight for the Clippers against the Dallas Mavericks here, because Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out of Game 5, and there are plenty of looming question marks about his ability moving forward here. The good news for Los Angeles, though, the Clippers have won both games that Kawhi has missed so far in this series. So, for more on this Game 5 that's in Los Angeles tonight, it's always a good time when I get to say this on the show. Howdy, partner. It's Tim McMahon.
Howdy, partner. How you doing?
So good. I'm so happy to be seeing you here. I want to talk a little bit about Luka Doncic, because there's been some questions about his availability for this game with that knee. Are we going to see him, and what are you looking for tonight?
Yeah, no question about his availability. The question is, can he be effective on that knee? And I asked him after shoot-around today, hey, if this is the regular season, would you be playing? He said, probably not. Well, probably not in Slovenian translates to no way in hell he'd be playing on this knee in the regular season.
We appreciate that translation.
Look, you saw him in Game 4. He could not move laterally. He'd been good defensively, really good in the first couple games of this series.
Right.
It was a bullseye in Game 4, and he's not able to generate that same kind of separation and get the lift on his step-back three that's been such a weapon. He's had a rough shooting series. He's the first one to say, though, there's no excuses in the playoffs.
Right.
There are some extenuating circumstances, though.
You know who has not had a rough shooting series is Kyrie Irving. He has been playing some of the best basketball that I've seen him play, at least in recent memory. Does he have enough? Can he continue to carry this Dallas Mavericks team?
Honestly, I think they need, if not more, sooner from Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
He's not been able to impact the games in the first quarter. And I asked him after Game 4, hey, you know, especially if Luka's not himself, do you need to be more aggressive earlier? And he said he needed to read the game better. But you know, we're talking about Kyrie Irving had 0 points midway through the second quarter.
Right.
They're down 31 the other night. Then he goes off and scores 40 points, leads them on a crazy comeback. They weren't able to finish the job, but he's had a couple of scoreless first quarters in this series. They cannot afford to have a repeat of Game 1. Of Game 4, where they're in this massive hole early in the second quarter.
Right. That series is on the ropes for them. We'll see if they can capitalize with no Kawhi Leonard tonight. When you were driving in, when you were coming in downtown to our studio, did you happen to see right across the street from Crypto.com Arena? There's an enormous billboard, Tim, that is up there now that says Dallas to Cancun. So when players come in today, when they're heading into Crypto.com Arena for this game, this is what they're going to be greeted with.
Oh, I thought that was targeted for me. I thought they were going to help me plan a summer vacation. I didn't realize that might be.
Will Maria let me crash?
Absolutely.
I think me and Maria are going to go. Tim's wife, and you can, you know, maybe you can join or not. Tim, thank you so much. What's goodbye? What's the howdy version of goodbye?
Adios amigos.
Adios amigos. Still to come on NBA Today. Tyrese Maxey, he pulled off one of the most clutch performances in playoff history. But where does it rank on Big Perk's big list of big time shots to keep a season alive? Stick around. Find out. Adios amigos.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WNBA player Brittany Griner is being detained in Russia.
We will not stop hoping for the day when we can welcome her home safely.
We are BG.
Brittany Griner on her way home back to the United States.
It's just a happy day for me and my family, so I'm going to smile right now.
I want to thank everyone. It feels so good to be here. Let's keep fighting to bring home every American still detained overseas.
Joining us now on NBA Today, Good Morning America co-host Robin Roberts. Robin, thank you so much for spending some of your day with us.
Always a pleasure, Malika. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Robin, you recently sat down with 9-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Griner, who, of course, was detained in Russia for 10 months. And it was actually Griner's first interview of this magnitude since she returned to the United States in December of 2022. What did she tell you about how her perspective on life really was altered by her unlawful imprisonment?
She went there, Malika. She did not hold back. It's all part of her book that's coming out called Coming Home. And she goes into great detail about her detainment, about the conditions that she faced. But what I found interesting, she became emotional not when talking about these conditions that she said made her feel less than human. She got emotional when talking about the guilt that she still feels. Disappointing her family, her friends, her fans, knowing what people were saying about her and thinking about her. And you could just see that the hurt is still there with her. She's still carrying that guilt with her. But this is the first time, as I said, that she's really letting us in and letting us know what those almost 10 months were like for her in Russia.
You mentioned the guilt, some of the feedback. You covered this, Robin, in real time like I did. And there was some feedback from some people who are understanding that mistakes happen, of course, but also a central conversation from some other people who say, how can someone forget that a marijuana cartridge or a hash oil was in their luggage? How did Brittany respond to those people?
I asked her, I said, what do you say to those skeptics? And she said something to the effect of, hey, have you ever forgotten where your keys are? Have you ever looked for your glasses and they're on the top of your head? That these things happen. She did admit that her misstep, her miscalculation was far worse than saying you can't find your phone or your keys or your glasses.
Right.
But it was just something that she truly, I asked her, had she ever brought cannabis into Russia before? And she said no. And there was less than a gram, 0.7 of a gram of cannabis oil. So it was very apparent that it was something that was stuck in her bag. Usually her wife did the packing for her, and she would dump the bag and then pack, but it was the day after Valentine's, and she wanted to still let her wife feel it's Valentine's Day, and so she packed for herself. Again, not making excuses, but she's taking responsibility. She did plead guilty, and she said in part because she wanted to take responsibility. Yes, she made a mistake, and it was something that's very hard for a section of the public to accept. They're angry that she was the one that was able to come home and not Paul Whelan, but it wasn't She wasn't at the negotiating table making that happen.
And, of course, she addresses that as well. A couple of really powerful moments, Robin, stood out to me. Brittany described feeling suicidal, feeling less than human when she was detained. What stuck with you most or maybe surprised you most about your conversation with Brittany?
Oh, her strength right now, her resolve, her knowing that she has a purpose. And that purpose, and even the people that were listening to the entire interview came up to her after and were like, now you know your purpose in life. And that is to, I mean, think about how much we talk about those that are detained in other parts of the world. We talk about detainment. We talk about Paul Whelan. We talk about others in a way that we haven't before. And so she and her wife are diligent in their work, bring our families home. It's a campaign. It's an issue that they're fighting for. So to see that she's going to be defined more than just a basketball player at the end of the day. And that's something that she thought would never be said about her.
And sort of making your mess, whatever your mess is, as you've said before, your message. Robin, I think it's been well documented that women's basketball players, they travel overseas to play to compensate in a lot of ways for low WNBA salaries. And of course, there's a heightened attention on that now with Caitlin Clark's starting rookie salary. Where did Brittany tell you she stands now on essentially what is this really difficult catch-22?
She really was planning on that year that she went to Russia to be her last. She was done. Mm. She was tired of going overseas. She makes five times more in Russia than she does playing for the WNBA as one of the top players. And so, yes, a pay equity is something that she is very vocal about as well. And that is something that has been a part of the conversation with Caitlin Clark coming in. But I will say to folks that are outraged at the salary and can understand that and hopefully it will increase. Have you gone to a WNBA game? Have you bought WNBA merchandise? Yeah. Have you watched it on ESPN? There's things that we as the public can do to elevate the game. And if we do that, then the pay will be elevated as well.
It's something that we can all take steps towards, even in small ways together. You can watch the 2020 special Prisoner in Russia, the Brittany Griner interview with Robin Roberts on Wednesday, May 1st at 10 p.m. with a first look on Good Morning America on Wednesday morning. Robin, my friend, thank you so very much.
Always good to be in your presence, Malika.
You can watch the 2020 special Prisoner in Russia, the Brittany Griner interview with Robin Roberts. It's tonight on ABC at 10 p.m. Eastern and the next day on Hulu. Are you ready, Perk?
I'm always ready.
Well, coming up, Tyrese Maxey's epic clutch performance saved the season. But where does he rank on Big Perk's big list of big-time shots?
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Asian athlete who had the biggest impact on me growing up was Yao Ming. And really what it comes down to is representation. Yao Ming, obviously a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Asian athletes to play in the NBA. But to see him on the court, I believed that, you know, I could maybe one day be on the same court, maybe not playing, but certainly covering this sport. And Yao, with his vivacious personality, you know, broke through so many cultural barriers. And you could see that he just was a larger than life character and, you know, someone who is deserving of the spotlight.
I love that, Cassidy. Thank you for sharing. Tyrese Maxey, he stunned the Knicks with his clutch shots last night. He had 22 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. Philly trailed by 6 points with 28 seconds left and are now the first team in the last 25 playoffs to overcome a six-point deficit in the final 30 seconds of a third quarter. So that got Big Perk thinking on his flight that he missed this morning. So on the second flight, did you sit? Were you in a middle seat or were you?
I was on the aisle. I was uncomfortable, but that's okay because this list sometimes make a lot of people uncomfortable. But damn it, it's not your list. It's not Malika list. It's not Austin list. It's not Wendy list. It's Big Perks list. Big Perks, big list of big shots to avoid elimination. We coming in strong. Bam! Put it up there. 1989. Damn it, I keep J's on my feet, so I had to pay homage. Wendy, do you remember this play?
I don't either.
I was only 5 years old, but he sent them home. We talk about MJ with the tongue out. This is one of the greatest. And look, we still seeing that celebration to this day. That carries on. That carries on, Wendy. I didn't want to spoil our moment. You know, we've been having a beautiful day.
The hair.
Malika, let me see where your energy is. Put it up there.
Bam!
There we go. 1995.
Who's that?
Damn it. What? Mario Ellie. Okay, Cut City. Cannot ever underestimate the heart of a champion. Kiss of Death. Do you know I was a Rockets fan? Do you know I watched Kenny Smith, Akeem Olajuwon, Sam Cassell? Bam! That's what we talking about. Kiss of Death. Wendy, where you at? I know you got something special.
Oh, the Spurs
special.
Mario Ellie.
I know you got something special.
Bam!
There it goes.
Oh, I remember
2013.
I remember this one.
You know what they say about old Ray Allen?
Not that game.
Jesus Shuttlesworth. He may not come when you want him,
but
guess what,
Malika? With the rebound.
Guess what? He damn sure will come on time. And he did that for LeBron James. Hell of a knockdown shot. Look, I've been part of some of Ray moments. Jesus Shuttlesworth. This was legendary. Coming in at number two.
Ready, Austin?
I actually like your suit.
Fire!
That's it?
That's all I got.
2019, well, guess what? That energy actually matched his personality.
I tried to go quiet. On that.
Kawhi Leonard, guess, you know why?
Let me get the squat.
Look, here's the thing. They went on to win He delivered a championship to Toronto, the first ever. I think he shouldn't have never left Toronto, but hey, that's my opinion.
Squat and get up like that? Like
here we go.
On this suit.
Here we go at number one. Bam! Put it up here. This man. Kyrie Irving. Skilled players to ever touch the damn basketball. And look at it. Look at LeBron. Now, Kyrie, I don't want the last shot. You can have it. Damn it, go to work. And look who is on. Steph Curry. Now, look, I know a lot of y'all may be mad. Y'all could pull up a lot of shots and ask him, why did I have MJ last on
MJ's
this moment?
MJ's at five.
Huh?
MJ's at five.
You know why he's at five?
Big inventory.
Because all four of these guys went on to win championships. That's why. So, again, this is my list. I need to know what y'all think about it.
Pretty solid. And I love the Mario Ellie. I love the Mario Ellie show. Yeah.
I was reliving some moments that I lived through, Perk.
Okay.
Man.
Malika?
I think it's a pretty good list.
You're not going to hate on you today, man. It's a good list, Perk.
All right. So Tyrese Maxey's shot didn't quite make this list.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention. I didn't know we did those. But he does, you know, help round out what we're seeing here in the Eastern Conference. There was a moment, Brian, that I wasn't sure any of these were going to a game six. But now, is any of them going to a game seven?
We could have a busy weekend because I'm telling you, the Magic Cavs is skin tight now. And I can't see Knicks 76ers not going seven. I think Sixers are coming back. I think it's going to be a game seven in the Garden on, Sunday night?
Yeah. Ooh, game seven in the Garden?
Well, Saturday night.
I'll tell you one game that's not going six or seven.
Yeah, that's funny.
We didn't mention that series.
That's going to do it for us here on NBA Today. Thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us. I don't know why all of us clapped our hands and started rubbing them together, but that's what we do. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy tonight's game. That's a little grizz. That's it.